Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, and we're going to do our best to expound just three verses tonight, verses 1 through 3. And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Tonight's Bible study this evening is the introduction of the book of Mark, the introduction. And so we need to look at this intro, the purpose. What is the purpose of the book of Mark? Well, to present the person, the work, and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, who was the author? We have to understand, who wrote the book of Mark? Was it another apostle? Who was it? Well, the author is John Mark. Not John the Baptist, not John, one of the other beloved apostles, but his name was John Mark. And that's who wrote the book of Mark. And the man was a wonderful man as we study his description. Listen, let me just say this. Going back 2,000 years just to be around Jesus, to physically touch him, to listen to his voice, to be embraced by him was such a blessing that you and I, we can't even comprehend that. The Bible says, blessed are those who believe just on his name. Just believing on his name, we are blessed, let alone us meeting him face to face. How many wish you could see him face to face? Okay, guess what? He's soon to come, and we will see him face to face. So John Mark, he's the author. He was not of the original 12 apostles, but he had accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey, and that's found in Acts 13:13. Who's the audience? Who's the audience of the time that Mark was written? Number one, Christians in Rome, where he wrote the gospel. So he wrote this gospel while he was in Rome. Okay? And so Rome was very significant in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the entire Jewish nation was under the tyranny of the Roman Empire. In other words, they were their taskmasters. And guess who were their master? Satan was. Because we all know that Rome was an idolatrous nation. And why do we see all the nations from the past and we understand why they collapsed? Well, one of the reasons why Rome collapsed is because they became immoral from within. And every nation in past history, you're going to see the key root cause of why that nation collapsed is because spiritually, it was spiritual bankrupt. They didn't know God. You ever ask yourself this question? Just ponder this thought, saints. The third world nations, why are majority of them are in poverty? And why do we, for years, we sent out missionaries to reach them? And why are they always they're like the downcast of society, of the world society? Why? Well, you have to look at which God are they serving. So when you serve the true and living God, he will bless your life. Can I get an amen? He will bless you. The Bible says, if you honor me, I will honor you. So because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and many of us whom he called, we didn't have a clue that the day would come when you and I would come into that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he already marked you before you were conceived. The Bible says he knew us before we were ever conceived in our mother's womb. This is how intimate the Lord is with us. But if you look at all the nations in the world that are third world, considered third world, why do you think God moves radically in the midst of them when they have crusades and the African nations that they travel 50 miles barefooted just to get to a crusade? You got to remember, none of them have PPO, HMOs. They don't have debit cards, credit cards, no transportation but their feet, walking on rocks and dirt. Okay. So when they get to a crusade and the word of God is being preached, all they have to have the size of a mustard seed, faith, the size, and God does miracles. Why? That's all they have is faith. They have nothing else. They can't buy a doctor. They can't buy a miracle. Our nation, we are so, so spoiled. Can I get an amen? We have everything. The poorest person in our country is a king to a third world country. So the audience was in Rome where he wrote the gospel. The date, it was approximately written at AD 55 through 65, okay? But what was the setting? Where did this take place? As I said a couple thousand years ago. But the setting is the Roman Empire under Tiberius Caesar. The empire with its common language and excellent transportation and communication systems, it was ripe to hear Jesus' message, which spread quickly from nation to nation. So, where Rome was, their transportation was great. Horses, chariots, boats. So that allowed commerce to take place there. That's why every prospering nations in the past always had to be close to the coastlines so that they can get to and fro, either up the coast or across other countries that were close by. But that's why Rome was prosperous. But they were tyrants. They had their foot on the necks of all the Jewish nation. But as we read Mark's gospel, as we start to learn who this Roman Empire was, we're going to see also that the leaders, the religious leaders in the Jewish nation, wanted to climb up the ladder with the Roman. And then they became kind of somewhat partnership. But all they want to do is partner up with them because they don't want to be under the foot of Rome. So they were basically yes men. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They were puppets in the hands of the Romans. And the common people were considered vagabonds. That's what they were. And this is why Jesus had to rebuke the religious leaders. And we're going to see this later on. Now, one of the key verses in the book of Mark is Mark 10:45. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for what? A ransom." A ransom. So we're going to see the theme of Jesus was a true servant. And as I mentioned before, and if you would have asked me without me searching it out, I would have never knew that the word immediately is mentioned in the book of Mark more than 43 times. Because the miraculous things that he did, they immediately took place. Man, wouldn't you love to work the altar call and someone came here and they're half dead and you just laid hands and immediately they were healed? Huh? Come on. Well, that's what Jesus would do. But he did it as a sign for the unbeliever, so that they would open up their understanding and have the faith the size of a mustard seed. We're in Israel. I don't know if some of you took home a mustard seed. Did anyone grab a mustard seed while you were there? Okay, no one did, huh? There was 15 of us that went. Okay, no one got a mustard seed. As we were walking down, we got off the bus to Capernaum. Remember Capernaum? It was windy and it was stormy. And we went out there. Remember, we were, for those of you that are visiting tonight, we were there in April, just a couple months ago. And it was a wonderful experience, amen? But a mustard seed is so small. It's smaller than a pulga. You know how small a flea is, right? It's smaller than that. But Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll be able to move a mountain. Well, these folks, back during this time, and even the third world countries that I'm speaking of today, when they hear a message of hope and faith, all they got is faith. That's it. That's all they have. They have nothing to bargain with. They don't even have shoes to give, to take off and here, take my shoes. No, all they have is faith. And that's when God moves mightily. So when we get into the gist of this wonderful book of Mark, we're going to see immediately. And we're going to hit on those points when we get there. Now, who are the key people in Mark? Well, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 disciples, Pilate, and the religious leaders. It's like a play. You ever gone to a play and then you have the brochure and then you have all the acts and you see who the actors are and all that, right? Well, this is who's on stage in the book of Mark. And then, of course, the common people. But we're going to take a look. It's an overview. We got to look at the overview of the book. So this is an intro. So next week, we're going to just hit it like we normally hit it. Amen? But you have to understand when we open up a brand new book, you got to understand the scope of the book. You know, I know some people who says, hey, read this book. For me, I'm guilty of this. I'll go through the contents, and then I'll get close to the end, and I just want to read the ending. I want to know the outcome right away. It's just me. I know, because sometimes reading a book is laborious. You gotta peel through it, amen. And you can't just rush it through. If you rush through a book, you won't comprehend it. That's why you have to read it several times. But how many ever go to sports events, or back in the day when you hung out, but you've always heard the term, we're number one. I go back to my high school days at Sweetwater High School, you know, taunting the opposing football team. We're number one. And then, obviously, there's words like the greatest, the strongest, the prettiest. One thing in high school, there was always, a king and queen prom night, or the homecoming king and queen. We get that. And so throughout our society and around the world, there's always proclamations, boldly assert claims of supremacy. Everyone wants to be associated with the winner. How many ever seen this and you've seen people do this to other people? Loser? Oh, we've seen that, huh? Whether we mean it or not, but I don't think any one of us in here wants to be associated with a loser, right? You don't want to be in a company of someone that just, man. Number one, they don't obey God. They don't want to do anything according to the will of God. And they just basically, they're losing their soul if they don't repent. You know what I mean? But there's people in life that somehow they just don't get it. And you can bring truth or you can explain all day long and they just don't get it. But we want to be associated with winners, amen? Losers are those who finish less than first. We get that. But here's the contrast. And this is what the human mind, or the carnal mind. You ever heard that term? The carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity with God. In other words, whatever God says spiritually, because this book is written by the Holy Spirit through godly men. But for someone that's not saved and born again, when they start reading the Word of God, they're like, I don't get it. Why? Until you're born again and have the Spirit of God living in you, you're not going to see what the Spirit wrote. You're going to see just ink on pages. And until God's anointing breaks open that the word that's rhema from, the Bible says it's rhema that comes from heaven. It's a word that comes and it ignites. And as a born-again believer, you're looking at it and you're going, oh, man, I read this I don't know how many times and now I see. Because that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? So this scripture I'm going to show you right here, to the carnal mind, to the mindset of the world. The mindset of the world is this: how can I accomplish myself in this world? Especially like in our country. We're a free capitalist country. So God has given this country an opportunity to achieve. And you can form your own business. You could be independent. You could be an independent contractor. Or you can work for a corporation. Or you can go to college and get a degree. But there's several ways to climb a financial ladder here in America. Can I get amen? But this scripture I'm going to show you, you would think that, whoa, no, wait a minute. I want to be served. And look what Jesus said here. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. So when Jesus came to this world for one purpose: to seek and save which were lost. You and I, we were lost without a cause. Come on. Come on. We were all headed to hell in a handbasket. And then Jesus came in, and I'm so blessed that he interrupted my life. He interrupted your life. Why? Because he had a better plan. And not that we knew any better, not that we were highly educated. Some of us weren't educated at all. I wasn't. I skated through high school because I had people doing my homework. I didn't study. I'm telling on myself. Yeah, we're always looking how to scheme and how to cheat our way and achieving more. And the corporate ladder in America is, how many people can I step on to get to here? And it's within our sinful nature that we are covetous all by ourselves. No one has to teach us to be greedy. It's naturally comes within us. I want. Listen, for those of you that have grandchildren or little kids, what's the first thing they, man, they just want. I want this and I want that. And then they'll see another little kid and they'll just go take it from them. Huh? It's natural. And then you try to teach them. No, you don't do it. You got to be polite. So we have to be trained, right? But naturally, our instinct is to want. That's what the flesh wants. But Jesus is telling us that he didn't come here to take anything from us. He came here to serve you and I. He came to this ugly, rugged cross to shed his blood for you and I. He had us in mind when he was hanging on that cross and he was saying, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Every ungodly thought and sin that we would ever commit from birth to the day we die, he nailed it to the cross. Why? Because he came to serve us. He came to seek us. He came to look. As I shared Sunday morning with preacher here, he went dumpster diving for us. He found me underneath a tortilla. What ugly piece of fruit were you next to? I think Sister Tammy said, I was next to you. Lord have mercy, I didn't see you there. But guess what? We were all there, weren't we? I remember our old days. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing the people that you associated with in your BC years. And then you're just going, thank you, Jesus, that God saved you too. Come on, how many are so blessed when you come across people that, man, there is hope. There is hope. Some people in our life counted us out. Come on, I know I was out of 11 brothers and sisters. Man, I know I was counted out. But God didn't count us out, did he? He had a better plan for you and I. Thank you, God. Saints, Jesus is the greatest. Can I get an amen? He is God incarnate. He is God incarnate. Listen to this. He's our Messiah. But he entered into history as a servant. This is why, when we see Jesus face to face, I'm going to fall on my knees and my face and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, God. There was no other way but his way. Hallelujah. It was by grace we are saved, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. We can't boast about this great salvation. We were given mercy. Mercy. God has given us mercy when we deserve death. How many can honestly say, man, the things we were involved in, we deserve death? How many people we injured and harmed and slandered and stole from and did all kinds of evil and iniquity was filling our whole being. And yet, despite of all that, the blood came and covered us. And now he looks at you and I just as though we'd never sinned. How does that work? The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. And now he is justifying us by the blood. Justification. Man. So when we stand before our Heavenly Father, God's going to say, wow, I don't see any sin. You know why? Because Jesus is going to say, I covered them with my blood. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to be washed in the blood? Thank you, God. You're not going to get this teaching on the street. Your Uber driver won't tell you this. Hallelujah. The books you are reading won't tell you this. But Jesus will tell you through his word. Can I get an amen? And so, this is the message of Mark, written to encourage the Roman Christians at the time to prove beyond a doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. Mark presents a rapid succession of vivid pictures of Jesus in action. This is why the word immediately is mentioned over 43 times. Why? Because, man, we serve a now God. Can I get amen? Our God rose again. Look at all the false religions of the world. Guess what? Buddha is still in his grave. Confucius is still in his grave. Allah is still in his grave. But Jesus rose again. Can I get an amen in the house? He's risen. He's the risen King. And so we serve a God that's alive and well. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And so Mark reveals Jesus' true identity as revealed by what he does. Not necessarily, but what he says. See, Jesus was a man of action. Listen, he only had 3.5 years. He started at the age of 30. He was crucified at 3.5 years. So he had a whole lot to do. He was at work. He was at work. He even said that, I don't even have a place to rest my head. And so he never hung out in one spot. I'm going to be here for... No, he went wherever the Spirit of God led him. Why? Because during that time, they didn't understand how the demons back then were devastating the people. And guess what? There's demons here today. You can't kill a spirit. Only Jesus can bind them and throw them into hell. Just like the air. You go outside. If you can see the air, man, I'll sign over my house. You can feel the wind. You can't see the wind. It's invisible, but you can feel the presence of the wind, right? As it's blowing across your face. Or for those who have hair, the hair just blowing. But Jesus says, so is the Holy Spirit. When he comes, you can't see him when he comes. But when he comes, woo, hallelujah, he'll change you from the inside out by faith. Aren't you so blessed to be born again? Hallelujah. Filled with God's presence and his spirit. Walking in his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. Waiting for his return. All the world seeing right now is chaos. I can't believe they elected a judge that maybe is going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Who knows? And they're already cursing the guy. My goodness. Yes, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. So Mark reveals Jesus' true identity as revealed by what he does and not necessarily what he says. It is Jesus on the move. Omitting the birth of Jesus, Mark begins with John's the Baptist preaching. You notice it's the only gospel where he goes right into talking about his primo. Who's his primo? John the Baptist. It talks about him. Hallelujah. And guess what? I really believe that we are the voice now, like John the Baptist. We're a voice crying in the wilderness. That's right. And everyone that we preach the gospel to is like God has called us for such a time as this. Hallelujah. To bring a fresh word, to bring a message of hope, to let them know, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? And you will serve the Lord. Thank you, God. That's the kind of God we serve. And so he begins the ministry of John the Baptist. Then moving quickly past Jesus' baptism, it goes into the temptation in the wilderness and call of the disciples. Mark takes us directly into Jesus' public ministry. I'm telling you, what I love about Mark, he cuts through the chase. He gets right to the heart of the matter. That's what I love about Mark. We see Jesus confronting a demon, healing a man with leprosy, and forgiving and healing the paralyzed man. Lowered into Jesus' presence by his friends. We're going to get to that story when they had to cut a hole on the roof. Why? Because there were so many people, they couldn't get them in. Just to carry the guy on the roof took faith. Just imagine those guys were operating in faith. No, you know what? And this is the kind of faith that we have to have. Sometimes you and I, we have to drag somebody to church. I need you to sit here and listen. Because God's going to do something radical in your life. Can you preach hope like that to someone? These friends did that. They go, man, there's only one that I know that can raise you from your bed. That man was paralyzed for I don't know how long. And they brought this man. They climbed up on the roof. They cut out a hole in the roof. And they dropped him down. What? Just a man. The guy's in there. I'm trusting in you guys. He had to have some kind of faith to believe that his friends knew what they were doing. Jesus, help us. Next, Jesus calls Matthew, Levi, and has dinner with him and his questionable associates. This initiates the conflict with the Pharisees and other religious leaders who condemned Jesus for eating with sinners and breaking the Sabbath. That's one thing that I couldn't gather. I couldn't comprehend this. When I first got saved and I started reading this, is why would these religious guys the Pharisees, who were the scribes, who kept the law. Why couldn't these guys have compassion on the poor and the sick? Did you know that these were the only people, other than the demons, that Jesus rebuked? Everyone else, he had compassion and love. But it seemed like he didn't have any tolerance toward these religious leaders. You know why? Because they were in their pompous robes and hats and shoes, and they were walking in wealth. And inside, they were filled with dead men's bones. All they took was from the money from the people. And they cared less about those who were begging in the street. That's why Jesus has a story of Lazarus and the rich man. That beggar was by the gate, just begging. We just wanted a crumb until they both died. Man, I'd rather be poor and die with a whole lot of faith than to die like a Paul Gates and have no faith. Lord, have mercy. And so he was always characterized, Jesus, as, what are you doing with those lowlifers? You remember that term, or you forgot about that term, right? A bunch of lowlifers. They weren't lowlifers to Jesus. Hallelujah. He came to save those who were lost. Did you know that he says, I didn't come to save the righteous, because there are no need of a doctor. He came to save the sick. And we was all sick of ourselves. We had diseases that we caused. And so in chapter 4, as we get into Mark pauses to give a sample of Jesus' teaching, the parable of the farmer, and the illustration of the mustard seed, as we talked about, and then plunges back into action. Then Jesus calms the waves, drives out demons, and heals Jairus' daughter. Wow. He does all this in the book of Mark as we get into this book. After returning to Nazareth for a few days and experienced rejection in his own hometown. He was rejected in his own hometown. You know what the religious folks said? Oh, we know who you are. You're Joseph's son of a carpenter. They had no clue he was the Son of God. They had no clue that the Holy Spirit overshadowed his mother. They had no clue that she was a virgin and conceived by the Holy Ghost. They had no clue. So all they saw was through a carnal mind. And they rejected everything, even in his own hometown. Wow. Jesus commissions the disciples to spread the good news everywhere. Opposition from Herod and the Pharisees increases, and John the Baptist is beheaded. We're going to read about that. But Jesus continues to move. This is why. If you were to relabel this book, instead of the book of Mark, the book of action. Man, because Jesus, all he did was a verb. He was action. Everywhere he went, man, you saw things happening. They were marveled. And you know one thing that I truly believe that a lot of them, he got their attention. And when he gathered 5,000 on a hill, what will we have seen today? Let's just say Jesus gathered 5,000 on a hill. He would look down, and guess what he would see today? I was at my doctor's office the other day. I saw a magazine. And they took a photo of this beautiful restaurant filled with people. You know, and a restaurant is where you kind of like, you lay your guard down and whoever you're there with, it's an intimate time. You're sharing stories and you're talking about how's your day going. And you know, you just start reminiscing the day, or maybe what happened last week, or whatever the importance of the time is at that time, right? And everyone that was at their tables everywhere were like this. And I read the article, and it was like this. You're sitting across from someone, and they're texting each other. You see, I'm glad they didn't have the technology then. You know why? Because they had full attention. They never seen miracles take place before. They never saw the dead being raised. They never saw the eyes, hallelujah, open up. They never saw the paralyzed and the lame and all those that got healed immediately. Those who were chained and thrown into caves because they were demon-possessed, God cast them all out. Man, if that didn't get your attention, I don't know what would. Thank God they didn't have Facebook back then. My goodness. He went on to feed 5,000, reaching out to the woman from the Syrian Phoenician area, healing the deaf man, feeding another 4,000. And then as we continue in the book of Mark, finally, it's time to reveal his true identity to his disciples. Do they really know who Jesus is? Peter proclaims him Messiah, but then promptly shows that he does not understand Jesus' mission. He didn't. Why? Because remember, Jesus said, I go now to be killed. And Peter, he just said, you're the Son of God. And then later on, he puts his foot in his mouth. He says, no one's going to kill you. And then like, you know, I got my sword here. It's like he didn't get it, did he? He didn't understand that Jesus had to come to the cross for you and I. He didn't understand that the blood had to be shed, that he would be the final sacrifice. No longer did they have to bring bulls and goats and turtle doves, that Jesus would be the final sacrifice and the blood throughout eternity, hallelujah, will be spilt for you and I. Man, you see, the high priest had to go in and they had to sprinkle blood with the animal blood. But Jesus, hallelujah, went into the Holy of Holies and he sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat. That's why it's called the mercy seat, because he had mercy on us. My goodness. When you start getting a hold of what he did for us, you should have a whole different mindset on who the King is and how you are to revere him and honor him and love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Thank you, God. Let's just take time out and give him praise and glory. Come on. Hallelujah. Is he a wonderful Savior? Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. Yes, he's a mighty God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And so, after the transfiguration, Jesus continues to teach and heal. He don't stop. Confronting the Pharisees about divorce and the rich young man about eternal life. Blind Bartimaeus is healed. And so events move rapidly toward a climactic moment in history. The Last Supper. The betrayal, the crucifixion, and then the resurrection are dramatically portrayed, saints, along with more examples of Jesus' teachings. Mark shows us Jesus is moving, serving, sacrificing, and saving you and I for an eternal cause. Did you know that we're not junk? You know, mankind is not junk. Mankind is in the condition because of Adam and Eve. They originally sinned. So God could have just wiped out both of them and says, you know what, I'm starting a whole new kind of life. Bible says in Revelation, before the foundation of the world, he already slew the Lamb of God. So before he spoke the world into existence, he already had you and I in mind. He already knew the day that you would be born. And guess what? For those of us who maybe have lived a rougher life than most, man, is Sister Deborah here? Yeah, Sister Deborah. She has a beautiful testimony. She got saved, I think, at 7. She never saw anything that I've seen in life. She's always been blessed all her life. God called her at a tender age, and God has kept her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But for me, I came at the age of 30. $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Toe up from the flow up, like Brother G would say. Come on. Just feeding the minds of this generation with garbage, drugs, alcohol, living a lewd life. And yet God said, you know what? I still got a plan for you. Despite of yourself, I still have a plan for you. And even those who may not have traveled the road that some of us have, we still needed a Savior. They still needed a Savior. Amen? Some people grew up religiously and did their best, you know, to honor their mom and dad and to honor the law of the land. And that's great, but that still doesn't save you. You still need to repent. Can I get amen? You still need to fall on your face before a holy God and say, mercy, mercy, mercy. That's why, as I mentioned, he had to sprinkle his own blood on the mercy seat. Thank you, God. Man, when you understand who he is, you'll think twice on breaking his heart. This is why the do's and don'ts of Christianity don't work. Oh, I'm gonna try to be good this week. Yeah, because you're doing it in your own strength. He's looking for a love relationship. Because when you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, now you don't want to break his heart. Let me ask you, those who are married, do you want to break your spouse's heart by cursing them out and telling them that you don't appreciate them and just wah, 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 wah? And find everything negative about them and just hammer them? Man, that relationship won't last too long. It won't, because you could only take so much of that. Well, that's the opposite. God is looking for you to fall in love with him. Because now all of a sudden, the things that he is asking you to honor, you'll do it because you love him. There's no whip. You got to do this. I came from a denomination, man. A saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. They sent him to hell just because something that was minor. Come on. And I found out, as you go deeper and as you start maturing Christ, you find out that there's kind of two camps in the quote-unquote born-again Christian world. There's what's called the Arminian doctrine, and there's called what's called the... It's not not conservative. Reformed. So there's Reformed, and then there's Arminian. The Armenians teach, and you're going to find this more in the Pentecostal kind of churches, apostolic churches, that they'll just send you to hell just because you sinned. Oh, yeah. I used to, man, here's the thing. Ask yourself this. I'm going to ask yourself this. This should make common sense. Let's just say you were dotting all the dots and crossing all the crosses, and you live holy, sanctified, man, and you kept, you didn't even have a TV, and you didn't listen, you weren't doing any kind of social media, you didn't, none of that. You're just living great and holy before God. And then one day you had a thought of lust in your mind, and then Jesus came, and he's going to cast you to hell because you had that sinful thought. Wow, that's what some of them teach. That's right. You got, man, once God covers you in the blood, hallelujah, the Bible says he has sealed you until the day of redemption. Are we going to live a perfect life? No. Are you going to still sin? Yes. But it doesn't give us a license to sin. It allows us to see our sin, and we can fall on our face. Oh, God, Wash me today. Cleanse me, oh God. And Lord, have mercy for another day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. He gives us one day at a time. Can I get an amen? There's people that walk around with condemnation. Why? Because the devil is saying, man, look what you did. God ain't going to forgive you. And they run from God. Instead of running to God and saying, oh God, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me. Because he's there eternally is cleansing us. Oh, but oh, you'll have sanctified folk. Man. Ooh, girl. Ooh, brother. And they'll just start bathing you with condemnation. I want someone to come and pray and say, Lord, oh, bless brother. Help him, God, whatever he's going through. Build him up, oh, God, in the faith. You don't need to know their mess. You just need to know they're going through. And pray, hallelujah, that God will strengthen them, whatever the battle is. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Somebody always want to get in your bed. Well, did you sin? There's people, I'm sorry. They get diabetes, not because they want to. It was passed down. Man, my mom died at 62, and I have 11 brothers and sisters, and there's six of us that it hit us. And it's genetic, it's DNA. And then I have other brothers, man, and sisters, they don't have nothing. But I still praise him. I'm not going to go into these pity part, oh, woe is me. No, I when I need prayer, I say, pray for me. That God will strengthen me. That God will help me through this. Because there's only one that can heal. That's right. His name is Jesus. So don't buy into the lie. Hallelujah. If the word of God says that he has saved us, he sanctified us, he's justified us, he's washed us in the blood. The Bible says that we are eternally now secured according to the book of Ephesians before the foundation of the world. And then he says in John, says that all that the Father gives me, I won't lose one. And on the last day, I'm going to raise them up. No one's able to snatch them out of my hand. Thank you, Lord. Well, who then? Who can cast you into there? Not when he says these promises to us. And you know what? I read the book. Man, I remember back in Mission Valley, we would have, our pastor would encourage us back then. Read 15 minutes a day. No, an hour a day, but take 15 minutes in the morning, 15 at lunch, 15 during the midday, and then 15 before you go to bed. If you do that faithfully, I think it was 4 or 5 months, we read the whole Bible. And some people read the whole Bible, I think, 2 times. And you start getting the word. You start getting the word in you. And the word comes alive. But if you don't know your word, you're always going to be second-guessing God. You're always going to be going, oh, really? Well, Jesus said, you and I, the born-again church, washed in the blood, the Holy Ghost is our guarantee. How many times have we read that scripture already? Guarantee. The Holy Ghost was our down payment. Hallelujah. And you know what the evidence is? Not because you were baptized or this or that. The evidence is in within you. The evidence is, man, I no longer do that no more. I am changed from the inside out. I have a new mind, and the mind's in Christ, and the joy of the Lord is in me, and his presence is in me, and I can tangibly feel the Lord within me. Why? Because it's what he's done, not what we've done. Can I get an amen? It's what he's done for us. I came from a church, man, that really just hammered you. I said, what? You know, until God opens up your understanding and gives you the full counsel of the scripture, you'll learn to fall in love with him even more. Because you'll learn that, you know what? It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his mercy that he saved us. Amen. And when you find out that it is mercy that saved us, It's like this. When he found you, as I share just now, we was all tore up. So what's he going to do? He's going to save you, cleanse you, wash you, give you a brand new life. Uh-oh. I'm going to cast you to hell now. What kind of God is that? He said, I didn't come but to seek and save those who were lost. And we was lost, right? My goodness. But I found out why those churches preach that Arminian doctrine. Because they want you to walk in a spirit of fear. And they want to control you. It's all about control. I went to a church. Women had to wear dresses a little bit past the ankle. Men couldn't have hair on their face. They couldn't expose their arms. And I'll never forget this. The church I first started out with, there was two young sisters. One was maybe 17, the other one 18. Just got saved. Just got saved. And they didn't know that they had to go through a class called sanctification class. You got to learn how to not put jewelry on and not makeup on and all this. And so, okay, they were taking the class. And it was not about a month that went by. They were seen by, we used to call them mothers in Zion. Some older saints found them in a Target store. And they were wearing pants. And she rebuked them so hard, right there in public. Because they weren't wearing their skirts. They left the church. You know, people are going to give an account to that. When you cause a little lamb to flee like that, after God is saving, man, who are we to put a yoke on them? Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Help us get through religion and rules and regs, that we would walk in his grace. Guess what? God will clothe you in holiness. Can I get amen? One of the things that I, blessed be his name, me and my wife, we know. We check ourselves at the door. We will never dress inappropriate anywhere we go. Why? Because we love the Lord. And she respects me and I respect her. And the only flesh she's going to reveal is to her husband. Can I get amen? But man, the Lord did some miraculous, miraculous stuff. So let's look at this. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying into the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Praise God. Thank you, God. You see, saints, that first verse here begins the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Acts has both a title and the book and a summary of the contents. No mention is made of the author, generally considered to be John, Mark, or Mark, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, but probably knew Jesus personally. And while we generally call this book the Gospel of Mark, the title correctly penned by Mark was the good news. How many are so blessed to know that this is the good news? Can I get amen? But here's what's so startling in the beginning of this book. The first name, Jesus, was a common name in Israel as the Old Testament. And what is the Old Testament name for Jesus? Who knows that? Joshua. Joshua, in English, Yeshua, meaning Yahweh saves. Look, the angel made sure. The beginning, right up here. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus, for he will save his. Oh, man, I want you to see that right there. Did it say he's going to save all people? It's going to save what? His people. Can I get amen? And guess what? We're his people. He's the one that called us. How many folks can you honestly say that there are people in the sphere of our influence, meaning people in our life that I will probably never meet, and vice versa? There's people in my life you will probably never meet, right? But how many can honestly say that, man, I'm about 99% sure that person didn't know Jesus? Case in point. When we was growing up, I was just 16 years old in high school. We ran around with the gang in National City. Yeah, we did. And there was this one guy. I won't say his name. Some of you know him. This guy was a brute. We'd go into parties. All he wanted to do is go find the toughest guy and go try to knock him out with one punch. He had over 50 fights. But he was ruthless. Ruthless. And so he went tuna boat fishing, came back, and found his wife was some other guy. So he went up in there, kicked down the door, and he beat them both up to a pulp. Beat them both up. And tossed the dude out, almost over the balcony. The guy came back 2 hours later and called him out from down below. He reached over the rail, 357 Magnum, bam, right through his head. He was dead instantly. He had one of the biggest families here in National City. I know for a fact because I hung with them. Ain't none of us went to Bible studies. Ain't none of us knew the Lord. If anything, all we did was live to get high. And I knew he didn't have time to repent. And boom, he was gone just like that. So you have to ask yourself, was that guy and many people like that, were they his people? Huh? Because the Bible's clear, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again. He cut it straight and dry. You can't come to God. I mean, you can't enter into the gates without being born from above. And so that right there, that scripture alone says he will save his people from their sins. So guess what? That's foreknowledge. That's a prophetic word saying that before the foundation of the world, he already knew you and me. That we would be his people. And that's why he has kept us from dying. He has kept us living today so that we could serve him and honor him and worship him and praise him and preach the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody needs to be excited about that. We could have died in our sin. But he chose to save us. He chose to save us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. We're going to pick this up next week. Amen. I got a whole lot more. And I go, oh, well, time. We got to be obedient with our clock here. I know some of you are like, yeah, Timmy. I'm just playing. But I think and praise God that we're starting this wonderful book. And we're going to dig, I'm telling you, we're going to peel. It's going to be like an onion, peeling a layer after layer. And getting in the gist of the book of Mark, amen? And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you for the saints that came out, hallelujah, tonight. And Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for those who may not know you, God, those who are listening to this message on the internet. Father, I pray, God, that you would reach every one of those who you are calling to yourself. Lord, let this message not fall on deaf ears, oh God. Lord, we're praying, Lord, that you would raise up the dead, oh God. Lord, that you would have mercy, especially those, oh God, that we know in our life. There are many in our life that are not walking with you, God. Lord, have mercy on them. Save them, oh God, from the guttermost to the uttermost, oh God. Mercy, mercy, mercy. You're the God of all mercy. Lord, I hear a little preacher back there. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, hallelujah, shall come forth thy word. And Lord, that little child back there is being raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And so, God, I'm praying for those right now who are listening to this message. And I believe God is giving you ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would do a mighty work, that you would do something immediately. Immediately, God. Quicken them, oh God. Draw them to the cross. And so if that's you, God is saying, cry out to him right now. And all you have to do is cry out in faith. In faith. We heard about the men that dropped their friend down the roof. Boy, they had some faith. You don't need all that faith. You just need the faith the size of a mustard seed. And God will do the miraculous in your life. If that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy, saints?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the